Okay. We're on? Okay. So just to begin by finishing up, what are two nekudos about the heter of Amir Lakum from Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos? We mentioned last time, we left off last time with the machlokas between all the Rishonim and the Orzarua, or really the Orzarua and the Ravya, about whether this is a heter of Amir La'akum, all Amir La'akum, across the board, even from Lacha Gemura, or the Shitas Yachin of the Orzarua, that it's only for Sivat Rabbanan, it's only Shvus Tishvus Makom Mitzvah, and the Ramah quoted the, the Orzarua, and we pointed out that that tied into the question that came up when they had settlement freezes and other similar things. Are you allowed to tell a goy to build on Shabbos? According to the Orzarua, you would not, because that's something they're going to do in Malacha D'Oraisa. But we don't pass like the Orzarua, so we said, all the people that I heard of and saw in writing said it was okay. There's another machlokas that came up here. At the time, it wasn't the time of the settlement freeze, but it was a similar matzah, that there was an outpost, and there were temporary buildings, the Americans were coming to inspect back in the time, the settlement freeze period, and they wanted to build the buildings so that the Americans wouldn't say, take it down. So they asked, could the goy build on Shabbos for Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Yaakov Ariel, right, he's the Rav of Ramat Gan, right?
Was
the Rav of Ramat Gan, now he's retired. Okay. The Rav Yaakov Ariel surprisingly asserted. And he had a machlokes of Shol Yisraeli at the time. And he asserted for a different reason. Not because of the Ramah, that it was only Heter Shus Deshus, because he thought this was not Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Why was it not Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael to build a new Yeshiv in Eretz Yisrael? So we had a fascinating diuk in Rashi here. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Mishum Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, ligarish ovei kochavim uliyashiv Yisrael ba," to kick out the ovei kochavim and to settle the Jews. So here, what is the what's the chiddush here? The chiddush here is what does kicking out the ovei kochavim have to do with anything? Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael should mean settling the Jews. What difference does it make that you're Megarish Ovei Kochavim? For example, when the Ramban famously brings down the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, the fourth mitzvah that saved, he believes the Ramban forgot, he says, Nitzavinu l'resh ta'arz shenasana keli salav oseinu li'avru nishu li'yakov v'lo na'azva b'yadzu oseinu min ha'umos o l'shmama. We shouldn't leave the goyim there or leave nothing there. Meaning, it doesn't matter if there's goyim there, you should have Jews instead. If there's nothing there, you should have Jews instead of nothingness.
If there's nothing there, the goyim might come.
Okay, but that's not what it sounds like. It sounds like it's just that Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. Pashas the Ramban is that Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. It shouldn't be someone else or nobody. Meaning, it's no worse if it's someone else or nobody. The Iker is that Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it sounds like in the Ramban. But Rashi says, Ligarish of the Kochavim liyashiv Yisrael. So says Rav Yaakov Ariel, there is a machlokas Rishonin, King Rashi, and Lechor the Ramban. What is the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz that we're discussing here? You could say Yishuv Haaretz means for Jews to live there, but Rashi means here based on the Rishonim. The Rishonim says, how do we know Yishuv Haaretz is Docha Shabbos? Because Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, like Melchemes Yericho, etc., is Docha Shabbos. So if you're talking about Melchama is only to take it away from the Goyim and give it to the Jews. You can't make a Melchama against empty space. So, says Rav Yaakov Ariel, he says, Rashi holds the mitzvahs only if you're being Megarish Goyim and bringing in Jews. And then he wonders, maybe only if you're Megarish idolaters? Okay, because it says, Ovdei Kochavim. But you know, you can never trust. The one thing you can never trust in printed books from a long time ago is the Kinuyim for the Goyim. Because, you know, the censors. You know, it's like in our days, like, you know, with black people in America, every 10 years, the old word becomes politically incorrect, you have to use a new word, etc. So that's what happened in the old days. Every generation, the word they used for goyim became politically incorrect, the censor didn't like it, they had to switch to a different word. So it could, you know, he says, we're not sure, maybe, if Rashi meant only idolaters or any goyim, but Rashi clearly meant goyim. So he says, what's the chakira here? The chakira is, what is the mitzvah of Yeshua Eretz Yisrael? Is the mitzvah of Yeshua only to take from the goyim and give to the Jews, or even to settle Jews? What seems to be the the machlokis here. The machlokis is the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael nigzar from the mitzvah of milchama. What's the idea of milchama? To change sovereignty, to switch sovereignty, to take it from Goyish sovereignty to Jewish sovereignty. If so, then it's only if it's going from Goyim to Jews. And that's Rav Yaakov Ariel's diuk in Rashi. Or do you say, no, the mitzvah is to have more Jews living there. If it's to have more Jews living there, then it doesn't matter if it's going from Goyish hands to Jewish hands, or from emptiness to Jewish hands. If it's necessary to do it on Shabbos, then it's matur mir la'akum. So the machlok is what's medayik from this Rashi. Rav Yaakov Ariel was medayik. There's only a mitzvah to take it, to transfer possession, transfer sovereignty from Goyim, or transfer possession from Goyim to Jews, of kibush. Basically, he says the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz is only kibush. While Rav Shaul Yisraeli said back, no, that's not Pashav Shat. The mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is Yishev. It makes no difference if it used to belong to Goyim or belong to Jews. Why did Rashi say Lagarish HaGoyim, the Yashav Yisrael? That just happened to be the case here. Rashi saying Lagarish HaGoyim is a first step. But the Iker is Liyashu by Yisrael. So how do you read this Rashi? Is Ligarish Goyim an etzim part of the mitzvah? Or is that just as it were the Hechsher mitzvah? And Rashi saying, look, it's very important, Ligarish the Goyim, if you need to do that in order to Liyashu by Yisrael. And then it's an afkamina for all these cases nowadays, if the Goyim wouldn't be living there otherwise. Otherwise it would just be empty space under Jewish sovereignty. Is it a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael that's Doche Amir La'akum or not? So Rav Yaakov Ariel says in Rashi, it's only things like kibush that transfer ownership that are the mitzvah. Therefore, building up a yeshiva is not. And Rav Shaul Yisraeli said back to him, no, you're reading too much into this Rashi, you're being medayik too much in this Rashi. Pashat, Pshad, and all of Shas is that the mitzvah is for Jews to live there, and therefore it's a mitzvah to build a yeshiva, and that's Doch Amir La'akum. Everyone else agreed with Rav Shaul Yisraeli here, and they didn't think that you should be medayik so much in this Rashi. But it is a fascinating question. What's the big mitzvah here? Is it transferring ownership or just bringing Jews there?
Now, I just don't understand reading Rashi, why you could say it's two aspects of Yishev Eretz Yisrael.
They're both each one independently.
Independent. Well, why do you have to have both, even according to the way you
Okay, I get that's how he read it. Yeah, but you certainly could have read it otherwise. Okay. Yeah, correct, meaning if it's Shmama, you have to build it, and if it's Goyim, you have to conquer it. Clearly, that's part of it. Meaning, it could be that the conquering is a mitzvah in and of itself, but the Yishev is also a mitzvah in and of itself. Okay, I agree. Okay, that's one aspect. The last aspect I want to point out is the fascinating machlok between the Machaber and the Magen Avraham as to what is mutter here. One thing is clearly mutter here. The Gemara says, Amir la'akum shvos, right? Let's assume, like mainstream shah, not like there was a ruah, you could tell a guy to do a malacha mamish. Is that all that's mutter, or is more than that mutter? So, says the Mechaber, quoting an Orza Ruah, quoting a Yerushalmi, that, what do? You show the guy a bag, kisen shel dinarim, a bag of money, and the guy takes the money, which clearly is the transaction, meaning you do a kinyan with a guy, a kinyan kesef with a guy, and then kinyan shtar, and he writes the shtar. The clear assumption of the Yerushalmi, this is how we read at Pashup Shat, is that you are buying and writing the shtar on Shabbos. The Magen Avraham, I think we would have all thought that was what was going on in the Gemara. However, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Sefer Mishpatei Tzedek, who is quoting Rav Ash and Arash. Okay, the later, I'm not... you can go into it if you want. The later Achronim ask whether it was Tosofer, whether Rav Ash really said it, whether the Rush really said it. But it doesn't matter. The Mishpatei Tzedek definitely said it. The Magen Avraham quotes the Mishpatei Tzedek and endorses the Mishpatei Tzedek. And Paskin's that way. He says, no, look in our Gemara. Amir la'akum is shvus, and Amir la'akum is mutter for the sake of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. It never says Mekach u'Memkar is mutter for the sake of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Mekach u'Memkar is taka asr, says the Magen Avraham. Asr liknos. So what's the case? Our case is you bought it on Friday, you just didn't have a chance to write a shtar yet. But Mekach u'Memkar is asr. So here we have a fascinating machlokes. What is mutter Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, says the Mechaber, Amira Le'akom, and Mekach U'Memkar, says the Magen Avraham, Amira Le'akom, but not mekach or memkar. Technically, it's mekach, not memkar, right? It's only if you bought it on Erev Shabbos. Okay, and then the question becomes, what is the yesod of the machlokas between the Machaber and the Magen Avraham? How do we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that almost all the Achronim rejected the Magen Avraham. They pointed out that the Machaber didn't make it up. The Machaber was quoting from the Or Zeruah, but the Or Zeruah also didn't make it up. He was quoting from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says very, very explicitly that you're also allowed to show him the money, which means you're buying it on Shabbos. You didn't buy it on Erev Shabbos. So what's the yesod of the machlokas between? So we pass like the Mechaber, not like the Magen Avraham. Mekach or Memkar is also much on Shabbos. What's the yesod of the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Magen Avraham? Anyone?
Could be why Mekach or Memkar is not the last one on
Shabbos. So it could be how chomer is the isser of Mekach or Memkar. Right, maybe the argument how chomer mekach memkar is. Why do you think that? Because of which makor?
Rashi and Beitza.
Because Rashi and Beitza has two opinions why mekach memkar is asur on Shabbos. Now, just to be fair, there's a big sugya, and there's a lot of kashas on one of these opinions. But Rashi is two. What are Rashi's two opinions why mekach memkar is asur on Shabbos?
Zera tuktiva or davar.
Or mimto chetzacha. Right. Is it because of zera to kosev? That's what's normally assumed by the poskim. It's like zera atu kotev. Or because of Mimtso Chetzecha, right? And how would you analyze this, Isaac?
So that, right, the Mechaber says that it's a Gzeira to Ketiva, and if we're permitting Ketiva, well then we can permit the Mekach Memkar as well, because there's no really concern with Ketiva at all. But okay, Avram thinks that it's much more of like a Dere Kabbalah, Dere Sofrin type of Isser that we wouldn't permit on Shabbos.
Okay, interesting. I would have said the opposite. I would have said the opposite. Why we've said the opposite? Because we're not permitting ketiba, we're permitting a guy to do ketiba. Right? Now you'll say, okay, I hear the time you say, oh, but the guy's going to do the ketiba for you, so you don't have to worry, you might come to be kotev. What's more chomer? Interesting. I mean, so cheftzicha is more chomer, or gzeira atu malacha is more chomer? So I think particularly in terms of the fact that so cheftzicha, we say cheftzicha surin, but cheftzicha shemayim v'utarim. We do have precedent for matrim so cheftzicha for purposes of a mitzvah. And some of the Achronim even say Mitzvah Chetzah is similar to the Chol. So I can't contradict what you're saying. And I think there's... All right, I don't have the... there's, I think, a different prima donna around there who might hint at this. But you could say, what are they arguing now? One possibility is about Chumras Esser Mekach Memkar. And I admit I can't disprove what Isaac was saying, even though I was thinking differently. You might say that the Magen Avraham assumes that it is a Gzeira Atu Ksiva, in which case it is a regular Shvus. And Shvus, we know, well, we don't know for sure, but a mitzvah is not docha shvus, right? Hazah, now I know that's a different mitzvah, and a real shvus is chomer. On the other hand, you might say that it is mishum mitzo cheftzecha, which is like a type of uvdin dechol. The eino chomer kimo shvus, the gam hutar the kama mekomos litzorich mitzvah. And I'm not saying mekach memkar is mutter for a mitzvah, but some degree of mekach memkar is mutter for a mitzvah, right? For example, I can acquire a lulav and esrog, etc. Right, we know there are some kulas in Mekach Memkar for Tzorch Mitzvah. So I mean, it depends. If it's more of an Ogdin Dechol, then there will be Matur, just like Amir La'akum. If it's more of a Gzeira Mamish, then it's like all the other Gzeiras on Shabbos. Maybe they shouldn't be Matur for Mitzvah, although I hear one could possibly say otherwise. The other option, which is what it sounds like from the Prima Gadim, that one could theoretically say, you know, it's hard to prove what the... what the Hesber for Rashi is. The other option is just how important is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Right? You could ask how important is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the Machaber would say, and this is what the Prima Gadim sounds like, right? Mishum Yitzvah Yisrael, Yitzvah Chazal, Zeb, Eferush. Right? This is what it sounds like. Here we would say, Al-Ki, Rashi, and Beitza. Not that Rashi and Beitza is analyzing the Machlokas, Machaber, and Magen Avraham, obviously, but Beitza. And here, this clearly sounds like the Prima Gadim. The Magen Avraham says, nope. They were only matir amira le'akum, not a Jew doing an Isser Durabonah. Right? You'd say, no, they're only matir what it says, they're matir amira le'akum. They were matir a Jew doing something with more chamer. While the Machaber might understand that no, they were matter even a Jew doing an Issa D'Rabbanan. Why? Just based on their judgment of how much they want to be matter for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How far do they want to go? That's what the Prima Gadim makes it sound like. The Morzia of Rav Yaakov Emden ties into a Hakir we mentioned last time. He asked the following question. Again, he doesn't say both sides clearly, but it clearly implies how chomer is amira la'akum. And this is Rav Yaakov Emden in the Moritzia. Again, he's not putting analysis out this way, he's just throwing in one line. What's more chomer, amira la'akum or a Jew doing a shvus? What's more chomer? So the Magen Avraham thinks that a Shavus al Yidei Yisrael is more chomer than Amir La'akum. And therefore, they're matar Amir La'akum. They never say they're matar something worse than Amir La'akum, like a Jew doing a Shavus. And what would the Machaber say? This is Rav Yaakov Emden 34. She says, no. Amir La'akum is more chomer than a shmus al Yidei Yisrael. Or at least a, you know, Zera Drabana, right? Let's call this a Averas Zera Drabana al Yidei Yisrael. Right? Which is more chamer? The Magen Avraham says, of course, a Jew doing Gzeira is more chamer. So they were matar Amir La'akum. They were matar Jew doing Gzeira. Then what would the Machaber say? He would say, of course, Amir La'akum is more chamer. That's the point of the Gemara. They were matar even Amir La'akum. They were certainly matar Gzeira. And what does this depend on? L'chor, this depends on.
You got to depend on the
Gemara Irvin, Shvut Yidei Maisa. Correct. Meaning, according to the Iter, it's very clear that a Jew doing Xera is worse than Amir La'akum. Because he says that's what Shvus the Isbe Maisa means, a Jew doing Xera, and Shvus the Lesbe Maisa means Amir La'akum. But according to us, it means a guy doing a big Avera, a big Malach, or a guy doing a Xera. So it has nothing to do with our question. Right? So he says this depends on the Chakir we mentioned last time. What's wrong with Amir La'akum? If Amir La'akum is Shlichus, says the Morkziah, that's worse. For me to do a Malach, a Mamash, a Lide Shliach, is worse than doing Xavier. Remember, Mekhomemper Shema Yechtov. Telling a guy is Ksival de Shliach. So, that's what he says it's listening. He said the verse is because of Shlichos, right? Assumes the Amira Le'akum is Aser because of Shlichos. If you assume Amira Le'akum is Aser because of Shlichos, then of course Amir La'akum is worse than Mecha Chomemkar. Amir La'akum is doing a Malacha Gemura Al Yidei Shliach. Gzeira is just, you might come to do an Isser of Malacha. It's worse to do Malacha Al Yidei Shliach than to come to do. He does explain this side, but L'chora, what you have to say here is, L'chora Nishon Shamira La'akum Eino Shlichas Ella Isser Amira O Carlos, you know, that's the Rambam. It's being, if he's in Amir Akum, that's not doing Lachid Shliach. That's just saying improper things. Then clearly that's more Kal. Doing a Gzeira is worse than just saying something improper. Even if you say like the Rambam, Shabbos might be light in your eyes, you might come to violate it. L'chore, that's a lower level Isser than doing Gzeira Mamish. Gzeira Mamish is I might do something and right now that will lead me to do Malacha. As opposed to if I tell going to do things in the end, I might end up taking things not so seriously, might indirectly lead to Malacha. So it could be this event of the Chakir by Amir L'Akum. If Amir L'Akum is Shlichos, Amir L'Akum is worse than Mekach Memkar. So if Amir L'Akum is Mutter, Mekach Memkar is Mutter, which is what the Mor Tzia says for the Mechaber. What would the Magen Avraham then say, just to fill in the blanks, you know, that, no, he would say, Mekach Memkar is worse than Amir L'Akum. Why? Because Amir L'Akum is not Malacha L'Idei Shliach. It's just a bad Amira, an inappropriate Amira. You know, similar to Daber Dover, Matoch Hefzcha. Okay, that's more Kal than Exera. Or, like the Rambam, just might lead to taking Shabbos not as seriously. All right, that's not as bad as Gzeira Mamish, which might lead right now to doing a particular halacha. So maybe that's another way to analyze it. One fourth way, fascinating, said by the Elu Rabba. Here's a machlokas the Elu Rabba has with the Alei Tamar. Okay, the Elu Rabba is a famous posik, one of my rule of time. The Alei Tamar is not quite as famous, but they put him on the Bar Ilan, and he's famous to... no one here learned in Gush? He's wrote a parish in the Yerushalmi. In Gush, he had an amazing library. Actually, if you ever go to Yeshivat Har Etzion, when he died, his library was donated to the Gush. And they have his library there, they have a whole wing of just his personal library, really an amazing collection of Sfarim. Anyway, the Rabbi Sachar Tamar, he wrote on the parish on the Yerushalmi. And he argues on the Elio Rabba and a lot of the poskim here. When the Yerushalmi says you show him the money and he takes it, what is the obvious implication? But you shouldn't pick up the money and give it to him. Okay, clearly, if he's willing to take the money, don't pick it up and give it to him. What if he says, no, bring me the money? Can you actually give him the money? Like, what if push comes to shove, you need to give him the money? Is that also mutter? Is it just preferable to tell him to take the money himself? Or, you know, is it just better to do the least necessary, right? Better to do less than as opposed to do more? Or, no, is it an ikaron that it's only mutter to sell it to him without an action? So the Alei Tamar assumes, don't read too much into your Yerushalmi. It's a mutter to do anything necessary. It's mutter to do any drabana. You can even pick up the money and give it to him. However, if he's willing, it's better to get him to take the money. But the Elio Rabba disagrees. The Elio Rabba says, no, it's only mutter. The Mechaber and the Rishami never meant it's mutter to do Mekach Umemkar as much as you want. It's only mutter to get him to pick it up. Why? Says the Elio Rabba, because you're not doing a Maisa. Meaning, the Elio Rabba doesn't think any Mekach Umemkar is mutter. The Elio Rabba is very explicit. If you look in his Lashon, he says, I'll just tell you his Lashon, if I can find it, should be right here. If you look in the Lashon El Yorabah, he says, it's a mashma da'azur litin l'mos, the zelo itira du mekach gomer k'maisa v'tiltol. That's real mekach u'memkar. You're not allowed to do real mekach u'memkar. You're only allowed to have him pick it up. What the yisod of the El Yorabah? He's understanding the mechaber, not like everyone else seems to have understood it, over that they were just mater mekach u'memkar. They weren't mater mekach umemkar gomor with maisa and tiltel. They were only mater this kind of mekach umemkar because you're not doing a maisa. Of course, what does that remind us of, Isaac? They were only mater because you're not doing a maisa.
Lav dispe maisa, lav dispe maisa,
right? Reminds us of that line in Erevin. So what the Elio Rabba says is, here's the Elio Rabba. He says that, what's the svar of the Mechaber? The svar of the Mechaber is, Hitiru kol eser drabanan, she'en bo maisa shel Yisrael. Amir L'Akam is no maisa, you're only telling me what to do. Mekach u'memkar also could be done without a maisa. You can sell without a maisa. How can I sell, how can I buy without a maisa? If instead of giving him the money, he takes the money. I'm buying, but I'm doing Mekach u'memkar, without a Maisa, while the The Magad Ram would assume, no, Itiru Amiru La'akom V'lo Shvos Al Yedei Yisrael. Meaning, everyone agrees they weren't matter or regular Issa Drabbanan. They're only matter very like Issa Drabbanan. The question is, what makes an Issa Drabbanan light? The Magen Avraham says, what makes it an Isser Kal is if a guy is doing something, I'm not doing any Gzira myself. According to the Mechabro, what makes this Isser an Isser Kal is if I don't do a Maisa. Meaning, there's a difference in violating Gzira on Shabbos with a Maisa and violating Gzira on Shabbos without a Maisa. Whenever I do something without a Maisa, it is more Kal. So, they're arguing about what, makes Amira la'atom more kal than, a shvus mamish. They weren't matter shvus mamish. They were only matter la'atom. The Eliora says, that means they were matter things I do without a ma'isa, not things I do with the ma'isa. So if I could do mekach mekach without a ma'isa, they were matter that. Because the principle is ma'isa is chomer, non ma'isa is kal. Not because of any lumdus as to the nature of the yisr. Just whenever I don't do a ma'isa, it's more kal. And the distinction was physical. Maisa versus non-maisa. Well, the Magen Aruch says, no, the distinction was conceptual. There's shvus al yidei Yisrael, with or without a maisa, and a mir lakum. There are matar mir lakum, but not shvus al yidei Yisrael. So the Eli Rav is a chiddush. Do we know necessarily that using with or without a maisa makes it more or less kal, more or less chomer? Maybe we didn't necessarily know that until now, but it makes sense generally in halacha whenever you do things without a maisa, it's more kal. Okay, so we have at least four ways of analyzing what's the yesod of the machlokas here. The maisa, we pass it again like the mechaber. Again, maybe they're arguing how bad mekach memkar is. Is it gzeira or is it mitzvah chefzecha? Is it ugdin dechol or is it gzeira? Maybe they're arguing about just how far they went. Were they making on all shvusim or only on amir la'akum? Or maybe, which is more chomer? Is amir la'akum more chomer than gzeira or is gzeira more chomer than amir la'akum? Or maybe, everyone agrees they only mattered light Yisurim Drabbanan, not heavy Yisurim Drabbanan. What makes an Yisur Drabbanan light? Physically, whether or not you do a Maisa, or conceptually, whether it's a Goy doing it or a Jew doing it. Okay, we'll take one more comment, that, then we'll go on.
He saw that in the language of the Magen
Avraham? Who did? He's explaining the Mechaber. He's not explaining the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is pretty straightforward. But he saw that in the language of the Mechaber. He saw the language of the Mechaber that had to do with not having a Maisa, and then it's not Mekach Gomer al Yidei Maisa.
So the Ramban al Torah understands that the Isser of Mekach Memkar on Shabbos is a completely separate Isser of Daraisa, like Shvisa Shabbos. It's a Bittel Shvisa Shabbos. So it's kind of a separate category. You can say it's much worse than Mila or Nachar.
Aha, that is a good point, meaning, now you have to ask exactly what the Ramban meant by that. Did he mean any act of Mekach HaMemkar or just like opening your store? Yesh Lion. Yesh Lion, although perhaps he did mean a real estate transaction. So that's a good point. If he meant a real estate transaction, that would explain the Magen Avraham. Fair enough. The truth is, there's another derech also. Some of want to suggest, what's this for the Magen Avraham? But this really does not sound like what comes out of the language. It says, as far as the Magen Avraham is, they were only matter if you bought it yesterday. Because then if you don't write the shtar, you'll lose Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and you'll lose the money you already spent. So it's Hefzid Merurah plus Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the Mechaber thinks they're matter even just for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I'm not sure that's as likely, but some of the Echronim suggest that. They're probably in the Sifta. Let's go back to the Gemara finally. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan. Ready, next sugya. Evan Chevi Gita, because of Atzmo and Chosai Kinuyin Lach. Atzmo, Konan, Chosim, Lokana. We know that basically the rest of the perek, every Mishnah for the rest of this perek is going to say what? That? What is like what? Shechri Avadim is like Get Isha. Right? And what's the first way Shechri Avadim is like Get Isha, which is what it's doing in our perek? Is that? Bifani Nechta, Bifani Nechta. Right? Echad Gitei Nashim, Echad Shechri Avadim, Shavu L'molech U'lemevi. Molech U'lemevi is the next mission says, and the rest of the parak is all the other drachim in Kvara. We have a segue. Okay, so you bring this Shechru Avadim from Dina Sayam. But this is a funny one because it says, Atzmecho Nechosai, meaning Atzmecho is a Shechru, and Nechosai is Tama Matana. Right? So, what's the answer? He's kona himself, kishechruri avadim, we're maker like get isha under the walls of Kiyom. But he's not kona the chasim, for the chasim we're not maker on the walls of Kiyom. And without Kiyom shtaros, obviously being Kiyom shtaros, he'd be kona the chasim also. The obviously we're talking without Kiyom shtaros. Without Kiyom shtaros, a shtar and the chasim is not valid. However, shechruri avadim, we're maker like get isha. Ibailahu, kona chasai knuyin lach mahu. What if it said, instead of Atman Chosai, one generality, Kol Nechosai Knu Yilach. Amar Abayim Toshkona Atzvei, that unites the Shechur and the Matana. Amar Abaye, Mitoch Shekona Atzvei Kona Nechosim. Since he's Kona himself, without Kiyom, he's Kona Nechosim without Kiyom. Amar Le Rav Bishlom Atzvei Likni Midi Havi Gerisha. I understand, his Shechur like Gerisha, Nechosim Likni Midi Havi Kiyom Shtaros. Why should he get Nechosim? It's like regular Shtaros of Mamanos. You can't be Kona without Kiyom Shtaros, the Alma, in general. Hadar Avayavai changes his mind. Mitoch Shalokan Nechassim, Lokan Atzvo, you're right. Since he's not Kona Nechassim, now Kiyom Shtaros, he's also not Kona's own freedom. Amalei Rav, Yerushalom Nechassim, Lekne Midi, Havin Kiyom Shtaros, the Amal, Atzvo, Lekne Midi, Havin Gevisha. I understand he's not Kona Nechassim, like regular Dini Mamanus, but how could he not be Kona himself? Shechur is like Gevisha, for reasons we'll mention soon. Elo Amarava, Echadzev, Echadzev, Atzvo, Kona Nechassim, he says, no, Kona Nechassim is the same as Atzvo, Kona Nechassim. He's Kona his own Shechur, and he's not Kona the Nechassim. Amar le'irvad v'armasna, l'rava k'man, k'rishim d'arv v'l'gina d'ibura. You must hold p'l'gina d'ibura. Abaye holds low p'l'gina d'ibura. You can't split the kol nechassai in half yes, half no. Rava holds p'l'gina d'ibura. You can split the kol nechassai in half yes, half no. Then we go into a whole sugya p'l'gina d'ibura, which we'll get back to in a moment. First, I want to point out, there's a fundamental machlokas rishonim about what's the case that we are starting with. What is the fundamental machlokas rishonim? What does Rashi say here? That he said b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam. Rashi and most Rishonim say, right, what is the case? What is the case of the Eved, Shehevi, v'chule? Says Rashi, and who else agrees with Rashi? A lot of people agree with Rashi. The Rif agrees with Rashi. The Rif, he's not so explicit, but I think the Rif is explicit enough that he agrees with Rashi. I'll read you the Rif. Says the Rif, I apologize, give me a second. Says the Rif. So far to the Gemara, midi havi get isha. This not, but then he adds not in the Gemara. What does the Mishnah say? Ha'isha atzma via gita v'chule. Anyone want to fill in the v'chule? Ha'isha atzma via gita. Uvilvad. She tricha lomar funny nechtam. Right? She has to say funny nechtam. That's the Mishnah, right? Ha'isha atzma via gita uvilvad. She tricha lomar funny nechtam. Obviously, the Rif is agreeing with Rashi. He's talking about saying funny nechtam. Otherwise, he shouldn't have brought that Mishnah. And all the what we call Beit Midrash of the Ramban. Right, the Catalonian Rishonim, the Rabban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ram, they all agree here. Rashi and the Rif and the Ramban, Rashba, I could probably add more if I looked far and wide. All say the Amar, the Fanaynechta, the Fanaynechtam. Who disagrees with Rashi? The Tosos Rid disagrees with Rashi very explicitly. And who holds like the Tosos Rid? He doesn't say he disagrees with Rashi. He never read Rashi. Who also holds like the Tosos Rid?
The Rambam.
What is the Rambam? The Rambam doesn't say he's disagreeing with anybody, right? That's not his point. But the Rambam, if you just read the Rambam, you get a different impression than Rashi. If you read the... I know the Tosos Rid is the one that takes him on. But if you read the Rambam, what does the Rambam say? Eved shehevi get v'kasvo atzmo nechosai knuyin lach atzmo kana v'areyu ben chorin v'lo nechosim lo kana ad shizkayim v'get v'chosu v'shar ashtaros. So obviously pass like Rava, we always pass like Rava. Atzmo kana and nechosim lo kana. What does the Rambam not say? Eved shehevi gito v'kasvo atzmo kana nechosai knuyin lach atzmo kana, etc. V'cheinu v'kasvo kol nechosai knuyin lach. That's actually machalot to the Rambam Rava. Kana atzmo lo kana nechosim ad shizkayim v'get v'chosim av. Shachol can have dibur, that's Hebrew for pagina dibura, Ramin atzmo kana of neshu nam on lohavi get shachruo. Ve'ino tzarech lekaimo. Well, in a chosim, she'inim kona of senil v'rayi v'ruri, lo yekno sabach kain ashtar. A whole explanation. Atzmo kana because he's nam on to bring his get without kiyum. Nechosim lo kana because you can't get nechosim without kiyum. He never says funny nechta, funny nechta. Right? I mean,
He should have, right? It's the Rambam's not the Gemara. The Rambam's the Rambam. He should make himself clear. So it's clear that the Rambam agrees with the Tosfos Rid. So the Rid and the Rambam say, we're not talking about him saying anything. How can you be Nema without Funny Nechta and Funny Nechtam? Well, what is the Rid saying here? What is the Rid saying? Why does the Rambam doesn't say why he disagrees with Rashi. The Rambam didn't even know he disagreed with Rashi. But why does the Rid disagree with Rashi? Very simply, why does the Rid disagree with Rashi? So doesn't a woman who brings her get need to say funny nechta, funny nechta?
She's divorced.
No, because what did the Gemara say there later? The Gemara makes no kinto. When does the woman who brings her get need to say funny nechta, funny nechta? When she's a shliach laholacha, which is a very weird case. It'd be a shliach laholacha until you give it to the bez and they'll give it to you. They make a weirdo kinto. Why? Because isha miki mata gita liyada, the Gemara says, there garshala. Because if she was already divorced, she wouldn't need to say funny nechta, funny nechta. Remember, we analyzed that a lot. Maybe that has to do with psychology as to whether he's going to change his mind. Maybe that has to do with the fact that Funny Nechtam is built into the Maisa Gerishin, and once the Maisa Gerishin is done, there's no room for such a thing anymore. But that's what the Rid says. The Rid says it's very, very clear. Remember, we had a three-way Machlokas Rishonim at the time. What about Isha Shenis Garsha Bimdinas Hayam the Havi Gita LeEretz Yisrael? Not the Okimta they make she's a shliach laholacha. A woman was totally misgarsha b'shnidias hayam and she comes back to Eretz Yisrael, right? Or for that matter, if a shliach kapla kabbalah accepts him because hayam comes back to Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Rashi started out shliach zeh was a shliach laholacha. The second Rashi says in the Masechet. Why? Well, they're going to say because if it would have been a shliach kabbalah, then that would be like the woman herself. The divorce already happened. The divorce happened 3 years ago, and now the woman shows up in Eretz Yisrael with her get. And everyone in Eretz Yisrael knows she used to be married. So she's only believed to be dead to remarry because she has a get. What's the din? So remember, we had three opinions there. What were the three opinions there? The Rashi and the Rambam and most Rishonim said that she's Neman without saying b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Right? That was the mainstream opinion. We analyzed this. And Daf Hayam and Beis, I think we're talking about the relationship between b'fanei nechta and the Maisa Gerushin. She's Neman Stam. Why is she Neman Stam? So maybe because the whole problem is that the Baal might change his mind, and over here, since he gave it to her and it was Chal right away, he's not going to change his mind because he feels the finality. Okay, the second opinion was the Ravid. Remember, the Ravid was later on, I think, Perkei Beis. He was very, very machmir. He says, really, Nemes, right? Ein Nemes v'lo mehani. Amir's Pane Neftam. Ella Shrifa Lekayim. Haget be'edim. Right, says the Ravid. Nope, we don't trust this get without Kim Shtaros. How can you trust the get without Kim Shtaros? But it's too late to say funny nechtam, funny nechtam. They both agree it's too late to say funny nechtam, and therefore what do we do? We say, sorry, you can't remarry until you find two edim to do a regular Kim Shtaros.
Even if there's no error.
Even if there's no error. And in the middle, we thought the Rashba and Daf of Dalet implied. Right? I wasn't willing to swear on a stack of Sifrei Torah, but that's what we thought. Maybe the Besifta probably agrees, or at least you quote someone who agrees. Besifta always quotes someone who agrees. The Mashmos of the Rashba on Daf Chavdal and Amud Aleph was in between. Sricha Lomar, B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. Yeah, she has to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. Oh, the Gemara there said, what do you mean she's already divorced? You have to make a weird case for B'fani Nechtam. So Rashi says, no. The Gemara didn't mean, everyone else said the Gemara means, no, it can't be that she was already divorced. Because according to most Rishonim, then she'd be fine without saying anything. According to the Ravid, then she'd be in trouble and saying B'fani Nechtam wouldn't help. The Rashi says, no, they were just asking the Lashon of Mishnah. The Mishnah made it sound like she wasn't divorced yet. They said, why isn't she divorced if she received the Medina Sayyam? But the Mishnah, well, they weren't asking Kashmir Pani Neftim Pani Neftim. That taka makes sense. She could say, okay, there are three opinions. What happens if someone brings their get without the weirdo kemta? Pashtas, why make a weirdo kemta, right? It's Mistama, regular case. If the Evan brings his star, Shechrer, from Medina Sayyam, there are three opinions what happens. But the mainstream opinion of, you know, 90% of Rishonim is that he's Neman without saying anything. And that's why the Rid rejects Rashi. He says, Ma Pitom. Why? The Rid has the upper hand here. I think the Rid clearly has the upper hand here. What the funny nechta, funny nechtam? It's not necessary to say the funny nechta, funny nechtam. Why bring that in unnecessarily? So what is the... So the Rid and the Rambam have the upper hand in Svara here. Right? The Svara is... Lefi Rov Rishonim, Eino Tzarech Lomar Bifanei Nechta Bifanei Nechtam, Ella in Cain, Nokim She Amar Lo Rabo, Have a Shliach Leholacha. You know, the whole weird, fantastic Okimta they have there. What's the case here? Having shlich locha adamas matis lahasam, the chi matis lahasam, shami shlich locha adamatis lahasam, the chi matis lahasam, shavi shliach leholacha. And that whole really, really weird Okimta over there. The kabli is gitach minei, or here it's a kabel. The kabel es gitach minei. Okay, that's a weirdo kimta we'd have to say funny if he's a shlech lach. Go be a shlech lach till you get to Beersheba. When you get to Beersheba, then give it to someone else or to a bezdin to be shlech lach, and then they'll give it to you. Why make such a weird okemta, right? You're not going to want to make that okemta. So menastam, you don't need vanefanefam. So what are Rashi and Rov Rishonim talking about here? It makes no sense whatsoever. That's the Rid's kasha, and it seems like a good kasha.
Before this, though, even though there's a zero shava blah blah, what does that have to do with the takana of vanefanefam or vanefanefam, which is mishum igun, and the or is not shayach ta'avadim?
Aha. So here, so you might ask, it's all, what does the Gemara say? Naf Gimel Amad Aleph. It says we should be guna akilu barabanan. So why would they be makel and evid at all? Good question. Why are they makel and evid at all? So there are two explanations why they're makel in an evid at all. What are the two explanations why they're makel in an evid at all? One possibility is... because of la la. Okay, it doesn't matter. Once it's la la, they were. Meaning.
That's the race of the Tetamachai who are wanting to make that kind of thing.
Okay, let's just ask, let's make ourselves a little box. Lama hikilu be shtar shechur. Clearly they were makel. That's the whole point of our Gemara. Right, they're arguing what the case is. But clearly they were makel. Why were they makel in a shtar shechur at all? So, what does Beer Tosa say? Exactly. Exactly. So you could have said two explanations. You could say la la, but then that's an assumption. Who says la la? They would make all the takanas exactly the same. Or Tosa says, right? Or Mefurish Tosos says because of Igun. What's the Igun? Let's remember this Igun. The Eved comes and says, I'm free. Now he can't marry a Shifcha. Right? He said he was free. If he says he's free, he can't marry a Shifcha. We don't believe him that he's free. So he can't marry Bas Chorin. Hold on. If he can't marry a Shifcha, because he says he's free, and he can't marry Bas Chorin because we say he's still an Eved, we suspect he's a Suffolk still an Eved, then he can't marry anyone. Or if he can't marry anyone, that's called Igun, no? That is the point of Igun, right? Point of Igun is you can't marry anyone. This guy's... So therefore, it makes sense to say you're a makel for Igun. I will come back to this in a moment. It makes sense to say you're a makel for Igun. Now, here is the... So, lo marklum. And what is the kula? The kula is, okay, the kula, says the Rid, the kula is that you don't need kiyum, right? The kula kimo get isha is that you don't need any kiyum. Just like you get isha, you don't need any kiyum if she's already divorced, right? She's already divorced according to Rosh Hashanah, you don't need any kiyum. Likewise, the kula, likewise, for Eved, the kula is you don't need any kiyum, as opposed to Rashi and everyone else, where the kula kmo get isha is that neman lomar b'fanei nechtam, right? For Rashi, the kula is not that you don't need kiyum, it's that b'fanei nechtam suffices for kiyum. Now, that's the problem, everyone. How to... What?
Also, that is not chayav mitzvos. That's an igun as well.
That's
a reason to be mekel, so never can be chayav mitzvos.
It's a reason to be mekel, so... Okay, correct. All right, the Tosfos, there it's not as obvious, because after all, he wasn't chayiv in the mitzvos before he was freed, and he could still do the mitzvos he wants, perhaps. But maybe it, you wouldn't say it's igun, but yeah, I wonder if Tosfos would have said that on its own without like throwing it as a second point. Because is it really the end of the world that he thinks he's chayiv mitzvos, we don't think he's chayiv mitzvos? We're not going to stop him from doing mitzvos necessarily. But okay, you're right, Tosfos throws it in. I don't know if Tosfos would have made an independent point, but Tosfos clearly says egon, or you could say la la. Let's get back to this. How do we answer the Ritz Kash on Rashi? Now, one answer would be wonderful, right? Meaning, the most obvious answer would be if we would say that Rashi Udime Savru Hirashva, or the right thing. That would be the simplest thing. Say, they don't hold like Rov Rishonim. Either they hold like the Rashba, that when you bring an already executed shtar, you have to say funny nafta, or they hold like the Ravid, that when it's already executed, it's too late, and therefore they make the Okimta of this weird Okimta. To Ravid, oh, to Rashba, the Nokim, the Chuli. Right, either you can say they're like the Rashba, and you have to say funny nafta when you bring an already executed shtar, or like the Ravid, an already executed shtar is hopeless. So the only case that would be you get anywhere is if it was this weird okimta. He said biyashleich lalach until you get there, and then say funny enough, he makes the okimta. The problem is, of course, that you can't say that Rashi and Rov Rishonim didn't hold like Rov Rishonim. Meaning Rashi himself, Nachav Dalev, is clearly not that way. Rashi himself clearly doesn't hold that way, right? Meaning the Rashba might work out, but Rashi himself, Nachav Dalev, that's not really an option. Says Rashi there that once she received the get in Medina Sayyam, she's Megureshes, and she doesn't have to say funny nechtam, funny nechtam. Maybe she's okay without funny nechtam, right? So this is, problem is, but Rashi and Rov Rishonim don't hold that way. So then you are stuck. So, what's the other option? So I put some achronim here who gave, maybe you thought of something yourself, who gave a few other options. How do you explain why Rashi brought in funny nechtam here? If it was not necessary, you don't need the funny nechtam according to Rashi himself and most Rishonim. Maybe according to the Rashba, according to most, according to the Rabban, you don't, according to the Ran, you don't, according to Rashi, you don't. So if you don't need the funny nechtam, why did Rashi bring in funny nechtam? He's one of the Rov Rishonim. So, anyone have an answer? What do you mean by that?
In other cases, when she shows up, she has to say it.
So no, one like should. But that's not true. That's not the opinion of Rov Rishonim. The opinion is that if a woman shows up with a shtar, she doesn't have to say anything. She's neman because she's already divorced.
No. So from the case where she brings it in, she's divorced now. You don't. You have cases like that, so you don't want to.
But we are mechalik because we say if the woman's already divorced, she doesn't have to say it. Okay, so, yeah.
You said that there's more of a chashash of like a ziyut habal in the case of an eved, and therefore you'd have to say.
Why?
I'm not sure. But
okay. So, here, let's. Let me.
I mean, the next case, the Marzal Paulina, is going to like bring some sort of. Maybe he wants to transition, so I have some sort of a year out of room to.
Aha, okay, good. So, you're having basically the two of the three shatim that I found, my favorite shatim there, Frodo, that I found here. The Rebbe Kiva Eger says a very lundish shot. Says Rebbe Kiva Eger, he says no. Rashi made the weird Okimta in order to make it a case of Pani Nechta, Pani Nechta. Right? And that's Rashi and everyone else, right? Rashi, etc., made the weird Okimta. I'm not going to write what the weird Okimta is every time. You know what the weird Okimta is, right? That it wasn't that he stomped brought a shtar. It's that he came and said, my master gave me this shtar and said, be a shlich lahalacha to go to the Bezdin in Yerushalayim and then give it to the Dayan there and make him a shlich lahalacha to give it back to you. So it's only being nimsar the shlich lahalacha now, class of funny yachta. Why would Rashi make the weird Okimta? In order to create a case of b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Okay, but why would Rashi make a weird attempt in order to create a case of b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta? So it says Rabbi Akiva Eger, because the Gemara assumes that this is a machlok, is about palginan dibura. And to be palginan dibura, we need to believe half of something without the other half of something. And here is the assumption of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And this is a very subtle assumption. It's hard to tell exactly what it's telling on. Says, why? Why? Because the Rid and Rambam's case isn't called Palgina Dibura. What's Rabbi Akiva Eger's assumption? What happens when the Rid and the Rambam? What's the Palgina Dibura? I believe that this shtar is authentic to free the Eved, but I don't believe the shtar is authentic in order to give him all the nechasim. And that's Palgina Dibura. It means, what's the Palgina Dibura, according to the Rid? The Palgina Dibura equals, we accept the shtar for shichrur, but we don't accept the shtar for the nechasim. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that's not called palgina dibura. Why is that not called palgina dibura? We're not believing half the. Here it's very subtle. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger. Maybe it's so subtle I should read the way he says it. In case it's too subtle. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, very lumdish, he says, da'anan lo chayshina lemzuyif beget v'shechur mitam igun. Hold on, give me half a second. And certainly the Rashi is l'inyan zelo shayach plug to the balgina dibur, to my baskina da'at v'lokon l'chasm l'okon, lo mishum da'ashtar kayim l'dover echav lo kayim l'dover acher. Or the davar echad, to be emes in this kaim eshtar b'kuyim l'chol mi l'yim u'b'zoyev batalu l'chol davar. El t'gabi isra v'shem igon ikilu shlo lochosh l'mezoyev l'gabi mamon chashin el mezoyev. What does he say? He says, palgina dibura doesn't mean that we, that, let's see if I can get on the board. This is not called palgina dibura. Palgina dibura means we accept half of what you say, and we're nullify half of what you say. In the case of the shtar, we don't really split the shtar. Either the whole shtar is valid if the signatures are authentic, or the whole shtar is not valid if the signatures are inauthentic. In the end, if there's an error, we're going to go check if there's Eidim for Kiyum, and we'll say either the whole shtar is valid, if we can find Eidim for Mekayim, or the whole shtar is not valid if we can't find Eidim for Mekayim. It's just that, meanwhile, we assume it's okay for shichur purposes, and we do Ta'ninan, we're worried that it's not okay for Nechasim purposes. But it's not that we say half the shtar is valid and half is not. Either it's all valid or it's not all valid. And someday we'll figure that out if we need to. Someday, if there's a fight over it, we'll investigate and either validate the whole shtar or invalidate the whole shtar, depending on what we find. It's just, meanwhile, what are we worried about? You know, how machmir are we going to be? Meanwhile, we'll let you have your shikhr, and we won't let you have the nechasim. But that's not called palgina dibura, because... we are not validating half of the shtar without the other half. Just worrying about the nechasim, meanwhile, and not worrying about the shikhur. If there's error, if people fight over it, then we're going to accept the whole shtar or none of the shtar. Rav is not splitting the shtar. They're not pulgini dibur. Why are they saying Rav is only mount the pulgini dibur that you can split a shtar? He's not splitting a shtar. He's just saying we worry meanwhile about some implications and not about the other implications. That's not pulgini dibur. If you say something and we say either we're going to accept your whole statement or not accept your whole statement, but we're not sure yet. So meanwhile, we'll be making on some things, machber on other things. That's not palgina dibura. Palgina dibura is if we say half your statement's kosher, half your statement exists, and half your statement doesn't exist. If we say we're not sure yet, so while we're not sure, we'll be making on some things, and machber on other things, that's not called palgina dibura. That's just called deciding how careful to be meanwhile.
This could be what you're saying and just not be understanding, but isn't it much simpler to say palgina dibura doesn't apply to shtaros, it applies to things that people say in Beis Din, and we will split
no,
those things.
No, because in the next line in the Gemara, it clearly applies to shtaros.
Not to what the taina of the person...
Shiv meira.
Not what the person saying, like the maimer.
No,
the
it clearly
saying.
Applies to shtaros. That's the next case in the Gemara. Shir karka kol shu, lo yotze ben chorin. That's the shtar.
Isn't he bringing the shtar and making a taina on the shtar?
No, he's just bringing... he just wrote a shtar. There's no tainas. Hmm. Yeah. So that's where Rekiva Eger says... provisionally, what we're going to rely on, what we're not, is not called Palgina Dibura. Palgina Dibura is only permanently, fundamentally, splitting a Dibura half and half. But in Fani Nechtam, that's a real Palgina Dibura. Forever you're Neman on Shechrer, you're absolutely Neman on Shechrer 100% no matter what, right? Even if the guy comes from Arar after Fani Nechtam, the Arar is Batal. And forever you're not Neman on the Nechasim, because that's not called Palgin Dibura, but the Fanei Nechtam is real Palginan Dibura. It's accepted for Shechrer and rejected for Nechasim. That's where Akiva Eger's Lumbus. He says if not for the continuation of the Gemara, Rashi wouldn't have said this. But Rashi says, hold on, the Gemara says, Rabba holds Palgina Dibura and Abai holds Lo Palgina Dibura. And that's the same as the Machlokes of Shimon and Rav Meir about Palgina Dibura. That's what the Gemara says. He says, he thinks the Ritz case is not valid Palgina Dibura. A provisional reliance on half a statement is not called Palgina Dibura. Only an actual kashering and nullifying of a statement. It's called Palgina Dibura. Therefore, Rashi had to come up with some statement that we actually 100% machshir half of and 100% mevatel half of. That's funny nechtam. It's forever permanently neman for his shechrer, and it's permanently not neman for his nechasim. That's a real Palgina Dibura. That's where Akiva Eger says Rashi had to make a weirdo kimta to get funny nechtam in order to call this Palgina Dibura, because provisional reliance on half a statement is not called Palgina Dibura. That's an assumption Akiva Eger makes. That like relying meanwhile on half your statement is not called Palgina Dibura. Obviously the Rid would say it is. That's where Akiva Eger is Hesber and Rashi.
So how does it work? How is Akiva Eger explaining, let's say, in the Tosus Rid setup, if Rashi would have done that setup, what would be
If Rashi would have done that setup, then everyone would have agreed with Rava that Atzmo Kana and Achasim Lo Kana, and it wouldn't have been totally on Pagina Dibura.
No.
If
you don't need
what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying is, if it was the Ritz case where he just brought it Stam, then he brought it Stam. There's no Pagina Dibura here. Of course, we're relying for Shechrer. Because we're not going to worry, meanwhile, until we clarify it. And we're not going to rely on the Chassim, because we will worry until we clarify it. And Abai would never have argued on Rava. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying.
So if Eidim then come, and the
And we say, in the Ritz case, everyone would agree. Bain Rav Meir, Bain Rav Shimon, Bain Abai, and Rava should have agreed. There should have been no Machlokas. He's saying, if it was the Ritz case, there'd be no room for Machlokas. Everyone would agree you rely on it for Shechrer and not for Nechassim. Until you clarify it. If Eidim come in Mekayim, you're relying for everything. If there's error and no key, you don't rely on it for anything. Okay, that's one answer.
The question is, why is this Gemara here? It seems disconnected from... It's not Paginan.
It is not according to the Rit. That is called Paginan, obviously. He's disagreeing with the Rit, obviously.
So there's no room to say that he's not even saying it's Paginan. It's neither.
No, the Rit thinks it is Paginan. What would the Rit say? The Rit... And Rambam would say that any reliance on half a statement, even provisionally, is called Palginan Dibura. And they argue about what's the boundaries of the machlokes of Pagina Dibura? Rashi Udi may think provisional reliance on half a statement is not called Pagina Dibura. That's just called being reasonable. It's only believing half your words permanently without believing half your words permanently, that's called Pagina Dibura. And the Rebbe would say, no, anytime you rely on half your words, that's Pagina Dibura and therefore belongs here. That's Rebbe Akiva Eiger. It's a bit of a fancy teretz. There are, however, two other tibbutz in that Rabbi Akiva Eiger gives, and one very nice one in the Teferes Yaakov of Rabbi Yaakov Gesundheit. Anyone know my neighbor Benny Gesundheit?
Yeah.
What? You know Benny Gesundheit?
Toronto. He's been in Toronto for a while.
Could very well be. Anyway, so it's his Alter Zadie. He's actually sponsoring the republication of a lot of his firm and sponsored putting it on the Bar Ilan, which is where I got it from. So, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Teferes Yaakov give two others there. I'm going to need the board, I'm sorry. And we're going to have to chazer the second shear of the year. Ellie, ready to chazer the second shear of the year?
Okay. We ask the following question.
All right, here we chazer. Who remembers which number shear of the year? And now we're chazering the second shear of the year. What do we say in the second shear of the year? We ask the following question. We start with a certain fact. Maybe Be'eretz Yisrael became Isha Hamaviya Gita Shekvar Nisgarsha Bo Mi Medinas Hayam Lefi Rov Rishonim. Right? Maybe Be'eretz Yisrael for sure. Kosher. V'ein tzarech lomar. V'fanei nechta. Right? Maybe Be'eretz Yisrael, the get is kosher. You don't say v'fanei nechta. And according to most Rishonim, even if you bring him to Medina Sayyam, but if you're already divorced a year ago, it's kosher. You don't say v'fanei nechta. Ask Tosfos and Abbeis and Aleph. Lama. Lo taninan tainas mezuyav. Why don't we taninan tainas mezuyav and require kiyum at least funny nechtam? And there were three potential answers. What were the three potential answers? Who remembers?
I said five.
What?
I said five.
Okay. Tell me one.
Because four is uncommon.
Okay. It depends how you count. Meaning, what's one possibility? One possibility is our Tosfos rejected it. And other Tosfos in Shas, it like brings it up as a Deya. So one is a Deya bit Tosfos, which is Gam Be Gam mishtari mamon lo tanina mezuyah. And that's where he started bringing rayas from all over Shas. We never tanina mezuyah. We never tanina mezuyah. Okay, one possibility is we never tanina. We never tanina mezuyah. Okay, that's one possibility. What's another possibility? What did Tosos answer? And then there were sub-possibilities, which might be what Ellie's thinking of. What did Tosos answer? So it says, of course we're tanin mezuyif in mamonos. After all, look at nechassim, right? So what's another answer? Why are we mekel? Exactly, says Tosos. Mekilim mishom igon. And what did we quote from the Ramban and some other Rishonei Sfarad, who remembers? Why are we not tanin on mezuyif?
We wouldn't expect that she'd forge it.
Why not?
Way too chamor.
Ah, okay, so way too chamor, you're right. Who said that?
That was the rush to Ramban.
Right, that was the first answer to Ramban. Okay, maybe. Lo chayshinan mezuyif. We're not choshes mezuyif. Mishom chumra shehech marta. Okay, what else? That was also the Ramban, right? Said Ramban. Ein taninan. Lo tanina. Yeah. We don't taina avor ha-ba'al. Ki ein ha-isha mamon shel ba'al. That's where we got into that big chakira. What else do we have?
Bais is not doing anything, just allowing her to get married. And
correct, which was the way the Ritva said it, right? Slightly different version. Right, so here you could say also, says the Ritva, lo taninan yishom, which we were with, whether it was the same thing or different things, she'ein bezdin govin klum. El Arak, Ein Mon Im Osa Milinase. Right, we don't stop her from getting married, we're not doing anything. Which again might be very similar to the first one. Okay. Anything else, Ellie?
I have a couple sub answers. The Tanin only works for the Arisa.
Yeah, okay, but that's all within one.
Right.
Okay.
We can't say Tanin as long as it's been a double makom. Like a chashaf in a double makom as opposed to like a.
Right, okay, that's the same as four. Right.
Maybe a bar in Shema.
What?
Basically, they claim their level of Shema. They can't declare that something for sure happened. Shema is the.
Yeah, okay, but that's also a sub within one, I think. Okay, now, let's just review for a second. There are many reasons why she can get away without kiyum, without panin echtam in Eretz Yisrael, or if he wrote Rishonim, in a get that was executed a long time ago. Let's look at those various reasons. Hold on a second. Says says Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Teferis Yaakov. They say, we're not sure how Rashi holds in this. We're not sure how Rashi holds. But they want to say like this. Maybe Rashi holds like Derech 1, like the first Derech. Maybe Rashi holds like the first way. Enten Talomar de Rashi Savar Ke Teros 1 Le'el. If Rashi holds like the first way, then hold on a second. Then even nechassim, he should be kona, because we know we never tanina mezuyif even in dinim amanos, right? Mm-hmm. Then kasha sheharei tzorech liknos gam nechassim without kiyum sharos, right? Because if you're like the first answer, then even dinim amanos we're not tanina mezuyif and you don't need kiyum. So why isn't it kona the nechassim? So what do you have to answer? The tsarech, the opne, lesugin, deba, Adon, the error. You have to make it Okimta, there is error. Once you make it Okimta, there is error. Now, why should he even be Kona himself? After all, what does the Mishnah say in Daf Tesan Aleph? We printed on the Beis of an Aleph. V'miyeshal of Orin is kind of Chosma, right? Sorry, I'm just going to switch to the red dots and blue. Baz Kasha, Yibimakom Error, Lama Kana, Esatzmo. If it's Makom Error, why is he Kona himself? He can't be Kona himself in Makom Error without Kim Shtaros. The MK. Sorry, okay. The Amar, the Funai Nechta, the Funai Nechta. That's what they want to say at Pilpul and Rashi. They want to say, if Rashi holds that even Dini Mamonos are valid without Kim Shtaros, because we never Tainina Mazuyev, maybe because it's uncommon, maybe because it's only Drabanan, then why is he not Kona the Nechassim? After all, you're Kona Nechassim without Kiyom. Must be the Baal's Ma'arer, and therefore you need a Kiyom. If the Baal's Ma'arer, why is he Kona Atzmo? He can't, a get or a shikr is not valid Makamira without Kiyom. The answer is he must have funny nechtam, funny nechtam. And that's why Rashi added funny nechtam, because that's the only way to get a case where he's Kona himself and not the Nechassim. Because if he didn't say the funny nechtam, then he might have shah. With error, he'd be Kona nothing. And without error, he'd be Kona everything. That's what they wanted to say. They want to say there's basically three possibilities, right? Amar de funny nechtam. Kona atzmo. The lo nechassim. Lo amar b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. If there's error, then lo kona klum. So then Rava couldn't have said it. And if there's no error, then he's kona everything with the first answer of Rava. And that's why he had to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam by process of elimination.
Don't we bring down that once he brings it, he says he has shame. Even if there's
Eru,
you don't go back.
No, that's how you get Shchiv Meirav, the guy dies. That's
even,
not...
Have the concept of Shame Ben Chorin Yosan Lovi, you don't go back?
No, I don't think that's correct. You're making an assumption, Lahalacha. But I don't think that's true. Again, your assumption, Lahalacha, is against this answer of the Achronim. But I don't think your assumption is true. You'll ask, why does Shame Ben Chorin make a difference by the Shchiv Meirav and not in this case? The answer is clear. By the Shchiv Meirav, he decided to free his slave. If he decided to free his slave, that's Shem Ben Chorin. He's responsible for the implications that he can't make it tonight. Over here, if it turns out to be forged, he didn't do anything. If he didn't do anything, it's not his fault there was a Shem Ben Chorin, and therefore he doesn't lose his slave.
Even though we know that the Fanenetan is a special kula, we should be even what we get now Once there's once the chatimot are considered valid, then how can we come in and say, but it's not for the
That's exactly Halkin and Dibura.
But if you look at it, Me'al.
Okay, so give me a second.
Basically, it'll come out looking
fine.
Silly.
So give me a second about that. I'll come back to that in a moment. Okay. Now, I think the most pushing answer though is the other answer to Tiferes Yaakov. I think the most pashut answer is maybe Rashi holds like Derech Four. And Tim Salomar, Girashi Savar, Kiteirutz. Four, that's a four. Then, why aren't we Taninan against a woman who brings her get? You know why? We're only taninan for an owner who owns a monetary stake in something. The husband doesn't own a monetary stake in his wife. Right? The wife is not the mamon of the baal. But hold on a second. The wife's not a mamon of the baal, but the eved is clearly the mamon of the adam. For all we say, la la me'isha, and these are drachim sheshavu shechur evad, gitin af shechur evadim. It's very nice to talk about all that, but you're not going to say the Eved's not the moment of the Baal. Avad and the Eved's the moment of the Baal. Right? The woman's not the moment of her husband? That's fine. You know, he doesn't own her. You know, he can't sell her. You know, Mida Oraisa, He doesn't get her Maisiyadayim, right? That's fine with us. But how can you say the Eved? Of course the Eved belongs to the Adam. So he says, if you take this shot, which is a mainstream shot of the Ramban and many other Rishonim, then it makes perfect sense. Nicha, then it's obvious. Why is it obvious? Enechnami and Isha, who brings her get that she was previously divorced from, doesn't need b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Why? Because she was already divorced. And we're not tanina mezoyef, because there's no owner here that we have to defend his property rights. There's no property rights involved. But in Eved, there's property rights involved. We're always tanina mezoyef on an Eved. So that's very, very posh. It says, Isha Shehivya Gita Shekvar Nisgarshabo Lo Taninan Mizuyev. Aval Eved Shehivi Shekhur Shekvar Nishtakurbo. Taninan Mizuyev. Nishon Shehumamono Shel Adam. Vilachain Sarich Lomar Bifanei Nechta Bifanei Nechta. Says the Tveris Yaakov, says Yaakov Gesundheit, he says it makes perfect sense. When do we have Machlokas Rishonim? That's that an Isha Rov Rishonim said that if the Rov Rishonim said that if you bring a get you're bringing a scarce, there's no tanina. That's by an Isha. But not by an Eved. By an Eved, we're always tanina, because he's the mom of the Baal, and that really just comes out of the Rabban. The Rabban says the reason we're not tanina for the Isha is because she doesn't belong to the husband. Here, the Eved does belong. The one thing you have to say is that when we say Shechri Arvadimar, Shavim Legite Nashim for Moluch Umevi, we mean Shavim that Ashlech Lahalacha says B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. When he comes to Venus Hayah. But in other cases, not Shavim. In cases where the get said funny nechtam, funny nechtam, the Eved says funny nechtam, funny nechtam. But it's not totally Shavim. In cases where the bringer of the get would not have to say funny nechtam, the bringer of the Shtar Shechrer still has to say funny nechtam, because we do more Tanin by Shtar Shechrer than by Get Isha. So here it's a Chiddush, because it's not Shavim Legamre. It's only Shavim for the Iker Takana. The Iker Takana, that when you bring a get from Medina Sayyam, you have to say funny nechtam, Shavin, Gite Nashim, Shechur Avadim. However, the cases where we're more makel by Get Isha, like maybe in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe if it was already divorced a year ago, when you don't have to do anything by Get Isha, there it's not Shavin. We're more makel by Shechur Avadim, because there are property rights at stake, and therefore you have to say funny nechtam, funny nechtam.
So why do you, it's mummanist to begin with, so why are you letting him say b'fanei
nechtam? We're letting him say b'fanei nechtam, mishum igun. Mishum igun, because he can't marry Shifra, can't marry Bas Chorim, will we make el to be mammon and eid echad, even a karub, even a bal dover, etc. Will we make on the standards of kiyum? But we're not going to say we don't care about kiyum at all, because there's property rights at stake.
And you don't care, even though it affects mummanist, even at the outset also.
Correct. We're basically compromising. On the one hand, it's like eating mummanus and that will always demand kiyum. On the other hand, it's like get isha and that will suffice with one aid for kiyum if he says funny nechta, funny nechta. So it's shavet in terms of being machshir aid echad, funny nechta, mishum igun, but it's not shavet in terms of letting me get away with nothing in many cases. That's what the Tiferes Yaakov says. I think it's just very pashut, meaning who says that avadim and get Isha always have to be the same. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes not. When it's a takana that it says before Shmishum Igon, then they're the same. When it's, at least according to the Rabban of Dime, a kula because there's no property rights, then of course they're not the same, because here there are property rights. Okay, so basically we have, if I could just chazer for a moment, we have four different defenses. The Ritz seems to kill Rashi here. The Ritz says to Rashi, what are you talking about? Of course you don't need the funny after when you bring from Medina Sayyam. What are you talking about? Seems to have a good taina. We have four ways to defend Rashi. One is that Rashi holds you never need kiyum for mamonos. Unless there's error, so make it a kint of error. Once there's a kint of error, of course you need funny after if there's error. How can you defend yourself against error without funny nechtam? The other possibility is no. We make the okimta of the weird case where the eved was a shlich lahalacha for his own get till he got to a certain place. Why do we make such a weird okimta? Ah, because we needed to have a funny nechtamar sugya. Why would we need to? Because it segues into the rest of Halkin and Dibura. And according to Kivi Eger, only funny nechtamar Halkin and Dibura, because that's absolutely accepting half without the other half. Just provisionally being makel and choshish for half and not the other half would not be called Halkin and Dibura. Or you could say, no, even in a regular case of a guy who brought from Dina Seyam needs Halkin and needs funny nechtamar, either because that's the case by Isha also, or because we're chalim between Isha and Eved. And we say, by Isha, we don't do Taninan, if she brings it from Dinas Hayam, but by Eved, we do Taninan, even if she brings it from, Dinas Hayam, because there are property rights at stake. Okay, that's defense of Rashi. One thing I'll point out, which I'm not going to totally get into now, but, interestingly, we now have two totally different ways of envisioning the sugya of Palkin and Dibura. What are we pulling in Palkin and Dibura? According to the Rid and the Rambam, we're pulling the shtar. We accept it provisionally for purposes of shechver, and we don't accept it provisionally for purpose of nechassim. According to Rashi Udimei, the simple pshat, and that's what Rikki Beig is assuming, we're pulling the b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta. We believe you that it was written and signed authentically for the purpose of shechver. We don't believe that it was written and signed authentically for the purpose of nechassim. This is interesting. It ties into a big issue, which I don't totally want to get into because it's a big shas sugya, which becomes very, very subtle. But let me just point out someplace here. What are you pulling? Halginan, what are we splitting? Here, the shtar, right? We accept provisionally shechur and not nechassim. Here, lechora, that's what Rikki Beig says, the eidos, let's call it, eidos of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. We believe it le'inyan shechur v'lo le'inyan nechassim. This ties into a famous hakir in the Achronim and some of the other sugyas of Halkin and Dibura, which they call. Anyone want to tell me which of these two palginans is more of a chiddush? That we accept the shtar for shechur and not nechassim, or that we believe you saw it, that it was written and signed authentically for the purpose of shechur, but not for the purpose of nechassim? You say the second one is more of a chiddush. Why?
No, first one is the power of the document you have. I don't see why it's like I'm believing it, you just don't have enough, verification for the next level.
Okay.
No, so how do you, a star, it's either, like you wrote, it's either good or bad.
Okay.
You can say, I believe that this happened, that this didn't happen. But over here, it's a piece of paper, it's good or it's no good.
Yes, I am. This, the Achrona, the following Chakira, which I'm not going to totally get into, but they call it, in the Lashon, the Achronim, Palginan Nemonos versus Palginan Eidos.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, right? Well, the Rebbe Kiva Eger makes it famous, and everyone picks up on it. What does Palgin and Dibur mean? We accept some facts without the other facts, or we accept all the facts. We accept all the facts for one inyan, but not for another inyan. Right? Like a classic case. You know what's a classic case of Palgin and Dibur in Sanhedrin? We learned that together. Ploni Bal Ishti. Right, so we believe you to kill the ploni, but obviously not to kill your wife because you're a koro veitzel ishto and you can't be made about her. So is it that we believe ploni committed adultery, we just don't believe that the other person involved was your wife? Or no, we believe ploni slept with your wife, le'inyan ploni, but we don't believe ploni slept with your wife, le'inyan your wife. Or similar case that comes up. Give me a second. And okay, that's good enough for now.
But that's a technical difference. You can say that it happened, and I believe you. But you're technically, I can't do anything because of that. Over here, it's a matter of you believe everything the guy says or not. It's not like you're disqualifying him for something.
No, you're saying you can't trust as enough.
So there are some Rishonim who say that we can only be polyedus. We can believe one fact without another fact. We can't believe the same fact for one purpose and not for another purpose. We could say, I believe fact A and not fact B. We can't say, I believe fact A in for some ramifications, but I don't believe fact A for other ramifications. That's not allowed. Where does this come up? There's a famous Gemara called Ilah V'Tuvia. Ilah V'Tuvia. Ilah V'Tuvia and Maseches Makos were... Who were the Ilah V'Tuvia? I think they were the Edom. I hope they were the Edom. They were made on a certain loan. They were proven to the Ariv, the guarantor. They weren't proven to the Malva and the Lova. And what we paskin? The Maskan and Sugis, the Machlokas, Maskan and Sugis, they're Pasul Eidos. Why? Since they're proven to the Arev, they're Pasul for everything. So all the Rishonim asked there, why not say Pelgir and Dibura? Believe them for the Malva and the Lova, not for the Arev. There are a few answers there in Rishonim. The Rush brings down two famous answers. Right? The Rush brings down two famous. It's a good question, right? Why we paskin Belgin and Dibura? Why not say we believe you that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000? We just don't believe you that Levi is the Arev because you're related to Levi. So, one famous answer from the Ravid is because we can't say Palgin and Dibura when you have a psul korva. You know what? Can you get the board again, please? Yeah, just get the whole thing. We can't say Pelgin Dibura when you have a psul korva. Why? What principle do we have about a psul korva?
What's the Xeris Agassi teaches us in Makos?
Daflav. Nim to Echwe and Karov Apostol. What if you have eight Edim and one of them is a Karov? They're all Apostol. The psul korva is mispashit. A psul korva b'mitzvah is a psul korva in all the Edom. Now, of course, that's only the number of Edom, not the parts of the story. But says the Ravid, likewise, when it comes to, just like kat Edom, shenifshlu miktsasa nifshlu kulam, if it's korva pasol, likewise, Edo shenifshlu miktsasa aide korva pasol being a rasha, Nifsol batal kula. Eidisha batla miktsasa aide korva batla kula. That overrides Palgina Dibura. Palgina Dibura is when you don't have an inyan of korva. But a psul korva overrides Palgina Dibura. How do we know psul korva overrides Palgina Dibura? Because nimsa ephem and korva pasol kulam betalum. So I'll just point out here, maybe we won't even give all the answers, but let's just ask ourselves the famous question of. Why not say Halginan Dibura by Edim Hakrovim Le'arev Rechokim Mi Malve Filove? Why not say we believe about the Malve and the Love and not about the Arev? Right? So one answer, which everyone quotes in the Ravid, is that nope. Eidos shebatla miktsasa al yidei korva batla kula midin nimsa efad mehem karov apostle. Again, what everyone knows is a rule. If you have three or a million or anything in between Eidim, if one of them is a karov, they're all apostle. Right? Of course, what minute do we have nowadays based on that then? At weddings, what does the rabbi always say? Are you miyachid these two people to be your Edom? Why are you miyachid them to be the Edom? Because hopefully you have krovim at the wedding as well. We'd like to hope that you're a good enough person that at least some of your krovim will attend your wedding. So there are krovim around. And therefore, if a korov intends to join the Edos, maybe they're all apostles. So we say, no, only these two people are Edom, and the krovim aren't allowed to join. Okay, so... and that overrides Palgina Dibura. This overrides Palgina Dibura. Palgina Dibura is only when there's no psul korva. What's the case of Palgina Dibura Maseches Sanhedrin? What did I just say the case was? Either Ploni Rivani Lertzoni, right? Ploni engaged in intercourse with me, or Ploni Bal Ishti, Ploni engaged in intercourse with my wife. Isn't that a psul korva, that me and my wife are krovim to myself? But what is the right answer? That. So how we say Ploni Bal Ishti, we say Palgina Dibura, and we accept, we kill Ploni and not my wife. Why don't we say, so Kurva is Batal half the Edis and Batal all of it. What does the rabbi famously say? That is the most lundish Rishon in the world. Okay. You're not allowed to exist anymore without remembering this right. Okay, so you better pay attention, because this is very clever. Okay, fine, you can exist, but you can't call yourself a Jew without remembering this Ravid. What did the Ravid say? The Ravid says, this is a famously lumbus Ravid. The Ravid says, you know what? If I say Ploni Ra'ani Lertoni, Ploni engaged in intercourse with me, and I was willingly engaged in it, right? So then obviously we have to invatal the part about me, because I can't be make myself a Russia, but we want to accept the part of Ploni Palgina Dibura. Why? That's not a psul kurva. I'm not a kurva to myself. I am myself, I'm a baldover. A baldover is not a psul kurva. And how about Ploni Bal Ishti? Ploni Bal Ishti, my wife's not a psul kurva. Why? Ishto Kegufa, my wife is me. It's a psul baldover. A psul baldover is not a problem, only psul kurva is a problem. Why? And here's the lundish part of the Ravid. What's the Ravid's famous lundish chilek? He says, a karov is an aid pusul or aidus psula. Right? That's pusul aidus, a karov. If my brother talks about me, that's pasul edus. But if I talk about myself, that's not edus in the first place. It's not pasul edus, it's not edus. And like if I talk about my wife, though, since ishto gugufo, that's not edus at all. And that's what explains the Shakavataria. Some of us were here for Sanhedrin, we still remember this. Wasn't that long ago? I don't know, 6, 7 years? How long ago was Sanhedrin? We definitely got up to that. He says the difference between being a pasul edus and being mufka from edus. Right? Basically, if we discover that one of the edim is the brother of the litigant, he's a pasul ed, batal mitzvaso, batal the other 6 edim as well. If we discover one of the edim is the husband of the litigant, he's not a pasul ed. He was never an ed in the first place. He doesn't exist. It's as if he was never there. And therefore, he doesn't bother anyone. He doesn't pasul anyone else. If I say a statement half about my brother and my cousin and half about a stranger, since the part about my cousin is Eidos Pasul, it's Vatal everything. If I say a statement half about myself and half about a stranger, the half about myself, I didn't say anything. It doesn't exist. If I talk about myself, that's not Pasul Eidos. That's not Eidos at all. It's as if I didn't say anything. And therefore, the other half is not Vatal. This is the Lundish idea. Again, this sounds more like a Brisker or Chaim idea, but it's a Mefurish Ravid. That, ironically, a worse Psul is not as bad. Meaning, a baldover is so not eligible to be made about himself that he's not even pasul edus. He doesn't exist. He didn't say anything. His words are as if they didn't exist, and therefore they can't pasul the rest of the edus. However, about my cousin, I do. It does exist. It's just pasul. And likewise, a goslin, it does exist. It's just pasul. And therefore, edus batal mitzvaso batal kula. That is the famous lumdish Ravid. He says that a baldover is mufka from edus, and he reads that into the Gemara in Makos. He says, the Gemara in Makos says, hold on, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, anytime Reuben kills Shimon, since Shimon was a witness, and Reuben was a witness, anytime Reuben kills Shimon, Reuben was also a witness. So he should pasul the other witnesses, and you should never be allowed to execute a murderer, because he always saw any pasul the other witnesses. The Gemara says, nah, that doesn't count. Why doesn't it count? Because he's not a pasul aid. He's not an aid. And that's exactly what Gemara meant in Sanhedrin. If I testify about my Ploni Bal Ishti, I'm not a pasul aid for my wife. I'm not an aid for my wife. I didn't say anything. It doesn't exist. And therefore, it doesn't pasul the other half of the edus. That's the famous Lumdish Ravid. However, they also quote, based on the Ravid, they quote another Yishon, right? This is the famous Lumdish Ravid, the Rush, and the Rabban, and all the Yishon quote another Dea. They say no. What was the edus? They say like this. They say, tacha. They say, these are the two most famous answers. There are other answers as well. They say, what's the okenta? There are actually 3 ways to make the okenta as to what Ilan Tovia said. What are the 3 things they could have said? They could have said, Reuven lent Shimon money and Levi was the Arev, and they're related to Levi. Or they could have said, Shimon paid back Reuven in a case where Levi was the Arev. Or they could have said, Shimon didn't pay back Reuven in a case where Levi was the Arev. three-way machlokes rishonim there, what exactly they said. But if you assume they weren't talking about the loan, they were talking about the piraon, they were talking about it being paid back. Now let's think about it, right? The okimta is that heidu al piraon hachov. You know why we can't say the piraon dibura? Maybe they don't hold from this lundus of karov, etc. No. They don't hold from this lundus. There's a different reason. Why can't they say Pelgini Dibura? Because think about it. Let's take the example, right? Isaac owes Effie money, and Joel is the Arif, right? And you're my cousin. Not really.
Distant.
Yes. No, that wouldn't help. You're my first cousin. You're my first cousin, right? Otherwise I'm cousin Lavis. So you're my first cousin. Okay, now, what do I say? I say, Effie's coming saying, pay me the money. Isaac, you pay me the money? If you don't have money, Joel will pay me the money. And what do I tina it was paid already. Right? I tina it was paid. So what are you going to say? Palgina Dibura. Believe me for Isaac that it was paid, but don't believe me for Joel that it was paid. So therefore, Isaac shouldn't have to pay, but Joel should have to pay. It says it can't be. How can it be? It can't be that it was paid for Isaac and it wasn't paid for Joel. Either it was paid or it wasn't paid. Right? You can't say half paid, half not paid. Right? Either it was paid or it wasn't. When can you say Palgina Dibura? If I would say Ploni Baal Ishti, I believe Ploni did it, I don't believe Ishti did it. But either it was paid or it wasn't paid. Okay, you have to ask whether that's the exact, most accurate way of saying, but if they equal Pirona hold, you could say, V'efshar lehamin shenifra hachov le'inyan malva v'lova below letting it already. You can't say that I believe it was paid back for Malva Velova and I don't believe it was paid back for the Arif. Because either it was paid back or it wasn't. Right? Either it was paid back or it wasn't. How could it be? Right? So it sounds like maybe, what we're saying is, what's the Svara? So it could be more complicated, but maybe the Svara is that Efshar lechalek edus, aval e efshar lechalek nemados. You can believe half the facts, but you can't believe the same fact for one person's din, purpose, and not for another purpose. It could be that there's a day of their nachos that says palginan edus, but not palginan emanus. We're allowed to believe one fact without the other fact. But we can't believe the fact for one person and not believe the fact for the other person. We can split the facts. We can't split the implications of the same fact. If so, that would seem to be against Rashi and Arsugya. Right?
So here's this. I must have missed it. If someone says my wife was nearby by someone, so you're not.
You believe that this person slept with an Ashes Ish. You just don't believe that it was your wife. That's splitting the facts.
But it's not testimony if you don't testify to the woman was. You're telling a story. Don't they have a story?
Who says? Why can't I testify that someone slept with an Ashes Ish without telling who the woman was?
You would accept that as testimony?
Maybe.
That sounds terrible.
Why? If I really knew.
You don't have the facts.
If I really knew. What if I know she's an Ashes Ish? What if I know she's an Ashes Ish? Absolutely. I absolutely know a woman's an Ashes Ish. Right? I don't know who the woman is. But one guy came and said Ramah Kadesh Lee and gave her a ring. Then another guy came and slept with her. Why can't I testify? Okay. Anyway, all I'm pointing out here, and now we're going to leave it as that, there seems to be a shita, and we've shown them in Makos, the Rush quotes this, the Yesh Omrim, that you can accept half the story without the other half of the story, but you can't accept the same story for Reuven and not accept the same story for Shimon. Palgina Eidos below Palgina Nemonos. If so, if that is such a shita, then Rashi or Lechor disagree with it. Because Rashi says, b'fanei nechtam, we accept that it was written authentically for the purpose of the Shechor, but we don't accept that it was written authentically for the purpose of the Nechasim. We're accepting your testimony. What do you mean? Either it was written, either it was signed, or it was forged. We're accepting that it was signed, l'inyan the Shechor. We're not accepting that it was signed, l'inyan the Nechasim. That would be committing himself, that not only Palgina, that would be committing himself to the idea of Palgina Nemonis. So then, Rashi would be against this Dea. Okay, we will leave it at that. Basically, what this seems to commit ourselves is equals Palgina Nemonis. We accept the same fact. What's the fact you said? The fact you said is it was signed authentically. It was signed authentically. Now, was it signed authentically or not? The answer is Le'inyan Shechor, it was signed authentically. Le'inyan Nechasim, it wasn't signed authentically. If so, then that's what Rashi sounds like. That's what Rav Akiva Eiger says. If so, then that proves Palgina Nemonis. So if we have this fact here, Palgina Eiger, Palgina Nemonis, there might be one Shita that low Palgina Nemonis. That's explaining Yilav Batovia, why we're not Cholik Yilav Batovia, if they're talking about Piraon. But Rashi and most and many Rishonim and Arson, we hold Palgina Nemonis. The question is not whether we accept the Shtar or not, whether we accept your Aegis Fanei Nechta or not, whether we accept that it was signed or not, that it was signed authentically. The answer is it was signed authentically for one purpose, but it wasn't signed authentically for another purpose. That's Palgina Nemonis, not Palgina Aegis.
Why are we calling this Rashi and like the Ritten Rambam say differently?
The Ritten Rambam would say, we accept that he gave you the Shechor, and not that he gave you the Nechasim. That's accepting half the story without half the story.
We have a Shtar in front of us. We're saying half the Shtar is good, half the Shtar is no good, no?
Yeah, half the facts are good that he gave you a Shechor. Half the facts are no good that he gave you Nechasim.
Oh, so it's not being plugged in on the Shtar, it's being plugged in on the Baal, the Adon's.
Either way, Kavana. You could say it either way. You could say we accept the Shtar, leaning this, not that. Or you could say we accept half the Shtar, nothing. We accept that he gave you yourself. We don't accept that he gave you his property. Right? Okay.
But how can you say that? Then you're saying that you're Mekayim the Aegis. What are you saying? The Aegis from Meshachir and they only...
No, that's classical Gittin Dibur. What are we saying? We believe you that Ploni Baal Ishti, but not that Ploni Baal Ishti, but not your wife?
But here you have a Shtar. What, how do you say you accept...
The Aegis on the Shtar, we accept that it's true what they say that the Adon gave the Eved his Shechor. We don't accept when they say he gave him his Nechasim.
But when you Mekayim the Shtar, Al Aegis, you just have to prove that these... The signature is that of the
But according to the written in the Rambam, we're not talking about Kiyam at all. There is no Kiyam. No one's saying it was authentic. We're just accepting the Shtar. There is no Aegis Kiyam according to the written in the Rambam. That's the point. Okay. Now, Okay, we don't have as much time left as I thought. But I think I'll leave this for now. And let's look a little, let's at least start looking a little at the next part of the Gemara. The Gemara's command for Shimon the Amar Palgina Dibura. Rava must be only like Shimon Palgina Dibura against Rav Meir. It says elsewhere that Rav Meir is the Tanakhama here. Detnan hakotik al nechasla abdu yotz ben chorin. If someone writes that his ever gets old nechasim, he goes ben chorin. He goes free because he's part of the nechasim. Shir karka kolshu writes except for a little karka, or except for karka kolshu lo yotz ben chorin. The ever does not go free. Rav Shimon Omer, Olam Hu Ben Chorin, Ashi Omer, Kol Nechasai Nesudin L'Ploni Avdi, Chutz Miachem Yerushim. Nope. He always goes free. A Shear is not a problem. Unless he says, I'm giving it all my Nechasim except for 1/10,000th of them. Okay, why is it different if he gives it all Nechasim except for 1/10,000th of them? So then, Rash says, the Eved might be that 1/10,000th. Right? He didn't say Karka Kol Shu. He said, if he left that Karka, he didn't leave out the Eved. He says, I'm giving the Eved all my Nechasim except for himself. So if it might be except for himself, then the Eved can't prove that he ever got his own freedom, so he's not free. Why would he write the Eved this thing? To trick him. Here it's a little tricky. What if the Eved is worth more than 1/10,000? Like, what if his estate is worth $1 million and the eved's worth $50,000? That's more than 1/10,000. Or what if the eved's worth $1,000, more than 1/10,000? So Rashi says, no, maybe he subjectively evaluates the eved as less than one, as only 1/10,000. The Chidushim Iksav Yad printed in the Masada Kof Ritva says, no, maybe he meant part of the eved. Right? After all, the eved's arm is, some part of the eved is going to be worth 1/10,000. Just work out the math. And if you only mishachar part of the eved and leave out part of him, he's not free. And the Rambam says, he has a different way of understanding chutz miyachad megribo. He says, when I say except for 1/10,000th, I mean except for 1/10,000th of each and every item. You get my car, except for 1/10,000th of the car. You get my house, except for 1/10,000th of the house. You get yourself, except for 1/10,000th of yourself. So it's the vadai that I didn't free you. Because remember, if you free an eved and leave out part of his body, that's not krisos, and he's not free. Okay, so there are three pshatim in echad megribo shebehen. Rambam says in Perush Mishnayis, Bivada, you left out 1/10,000th of everything, including himself. Rashi says, you might have left out his entire self and just undervalued him. And the Chidushim Iksav Yad, printed in the Masada Kof Ritva, say, which they claim it may be the Ritva, say that maybe you left out part of him, which is worth 1/10,000th. Okay, either way, that's not the hard part. The Machlokas here seems to be where Shimon holds Paltina Dibura, but the Tanakama, who elsewhere says Rav Meir, says Lo Palgina Dibura. Amr of Yosef, Rav Yomi, Amr of Nachman, Afi Shekilos, Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon, Allah, Rav Meir. Okay, here we see it's Rav Meir. Even Rav Yosef praised Rav Shimon, the Allah, like Rav Meir, the Tani, Shanam, Rav Yosef, Karolava, Mikrazeh, that when this was said in front of Yosef, he applied this pasuk, Sasayim, Yishak, Meshiv, Dvarim, Nechochim. Okay, we're not sure exactly what Sasayim, Yishak means, Samachlokis. Rash says he should be kissed. I should kiss him because he's saying such good things. And even though Rav Yosef says he should kiss Rav Shimon for saying such good svaras, nonetheless, the Allah, like Rav Meir, then it's a problem. If the halacha like her mayor, then the halacha is low palgina dibura. So how can Rav Paskin and palgina dibura? So the Gemara asks him, "Mi amar of Nachman hachi? Do Rav Nachman really say low palgina dibura? Or amar of Yosef Rav Yomi amar of Nachman? Shkimi Rasha calls him kol nachasim la'avdo ve'amad chozer ben chasim ino chozer ve'eved chozer ben chasim matna shkimi rabu ve'ino chozer ve'eved shari yatzol shem ben chorin." What's the din matna shkimi ra? If a guy is lying ill in bed and gives a gift in anticipation of death, it's an assumed t'nai that if he gets better, he only intends to give the gift because he's going to die. If he gives away all his property. Obviously, he only meant that because he thought he was going to die. If he was going to live another 20 years, he'd still want his property. So it's an assumed t'nai that if he gets better, he can retract. And therefore, if he gets better, he retracts. However, he can retract on the nechassim. He can't retract on the eved. Why can't he retract on the eved? Seems to be a principle in Midrabanan. Once the eved was called a ben chorin, it is not proper to enslave him again. Again, nothing to do with the case over there of Irur, etc., when it was all a lie. Here, you truthfully freed your slave, and therefore, Chazal say you're not allowed to leave yourself an option to retract. But here we see Palgina Diguru, we split it, and the Nechasim you retract and the slave stays. Elamar Vashi, so we see Palgina Dibura. So then Rav is okay, Rav is Palgina Dibura, and Rav Nachman is Palgina Dibura. So why did Rav Nachman say the Halach is like Rav Meir? The Rav Meir's reason was not lo palgina dibura. Rav Meir's reason was lav kruskita. Okay, so here we have the, you got the board, right? What?
I got two boards so far.
Okay, that's good. Here we have the machlokes Rav Shimon and Rav Meir. We just have to figure out exactly what they're saying. Machlokes Rav Shimon and Rav Meir. There is a havamina maskana. In the parallel Gemara, by the way, in Bava Basra, there's also a havamina maskana. The Havamina is that Rav Meir was because of some other reason. The Maskana is he's because of Lav Kruskita. So, here we have Rav Meir v'Rav Shimon argue about Shir Karka Kolshu. What is the Svaras Rav Meir? The Maskana is Lav Kruskita. Right? The Havamina in Gittin and Bava Basra is Lav Kruskita. The Havamina in Gittin and Bava Basra is obviously for a different reason. And then the Gemara in Gittin ties into not in Bava Basra, only in Gittin and Bava Basra. There's the Havamina is for a different reason. Maskana is because of Lav Kruskita. Here, the Gemara in Gittin says it's because lo palgina dibura, and that's why in the Havamina you think Rav Meir's lo palgina dibura, only Rav Shimon palgina dibura. But we pass like Rav Meir, so how could Rav say palgina dibura? The answer is he passed like Vermeer, but his real reason is Lav Proskita. Okay, the question just becomes, what in the Havamina is the reason why? In the Havamina, what's the reason why Lo Yotze Ben Chorin if Shir Karka Kolshu? Remember, he wasn't Shir Echad Meribo. He didn't say I'm a Shai or something which explicitly could be or is part of a role of the Eved. He's Meshayer Karka. So, what's the Havamina? In the Havamina, why is Shir Karka Kolshu Lo Yotze Ben Chorin? Okay, what does Rashi say? What does Rashi say?
He was just trying to hamfen the slave a little.
Why? Says Rashi, bottom of Chesam Beis.
Kiilu mishapur.
Dibish lomer reisha dlo gully daitu nachsh l'shiur lomer nashir. Valhacha the nachsh l'shiur amrin l'didei nami shiur.
Right. One shot is Rashi. Rashi says, Kevan de Noches Lashiura, not Shiur, but Shiur, since he went down to start leaving things out, Dilma Shiur Gam Ha'Eved. Since he left something out, maybe he also left out the Eved himself, and he never meant to give the Eved himself. And he was just playing around with him. Okay. That's Rashi's shot. What is strange about this pshat, without any lumdus?
Why doesn't he say it?
Yeah, also, like Mehechitesi. If I say I'm giving you all my property except for one karka, why should I think I also left out an evet? Like Mehechitesi. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you don't need any lumdus, you don't need any sugyas. Every time I say everything except for one thing, of course you wouldn't say and except for a second thing. That's against my lashon, right? So here it's a little tricky. What's this? Why would he think such a thing? And here, I think the Nesivus gives the right answer in Torah Skitten. He says, a technical answer, he says, hold on a second. There's a chiddush here in the first place. Usually when I say, I am giving you nechasai, there's me, the makne, you, the kone, and the nikna, right? The chayfetz. What's the general assumption? The general assumption is that the chayfetz is not the Makna or the Kona. I am giving you something else. There's a Chiddush here. The Chiddush is, when I say to my Eved, I'm giving you Kol Nechasai, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that Kol Nechasai includes the Eved. Generally, we would think the Kona is not the Nikna. It's a Chiddush that Kol Nechasai includes the Eved. Meaning, the Pshat of Kol Nechasai, it's not so clear if it includes the Eved or not. It's a chiddush that we're machriya that kol nechasai includes the eved. Therefore, says the Torah's Gittin, Rashi's not crazy. Since it's a chiddush in the first place, we're not sure whether kol nechasai includes the eved or not. Therefore, what do we say? Well, kol nechasai is across the board, then we assume it includes the eved. Once you leave out one thing, you show you're not so committed, all of a sudden that makes us question, what is... I say I'm giving you kol nechasai except for one thing. It's not that... We think I mean kol nechasai except for two things. That's silly. It's that we're not sure if kol nechasai includes the kona in the first place or not. So if I say kol nechasai across the board and demonstrate an absolute commitment, then we say, mistama he meant by kol nechasai, even the kona, even the eved. But if I say kol nechasai except for karka echad, then I'm showing I'm not so committed to kol nechasai. I'm not really giving this over wholeheartedly everything. I'm giving over some things, not other things. Once I'm giving over some things, not other things, of course you wouldn't think I was Meshire a car. No one's going to say, well, once I was Meshire one, if I write Simcha, I'm giving you all my Mechasai except for one house. No one's going to say, since I left that one house, maybe I also left that one car. No, that's ridiculous. No one's going to say, since I left that one house, maybe I left that one Eved. That's ridiculous. But if I say to my Eved Kol Mechasai, in the first place, we're not sure if I meant to give him himself. And we barely machria, like probably meant to give him himself, but we're not 100% sure. Then, once already I have a pagam, and I say, I'm not really giving everything. I'm leaving things out. I'm in the mood to leave things out. I'm not very committed. We reinterpret kol nechasai to mean the normal kol nechasai of not the kona and the makne, and not the kona. And I think that's pasha. In the Torah Skitten goes into details, but I think that's pasha. That no one's stupid enough to think, whenever I leave out one thing, I might have left out two things. That's ridiculous. It's just that not that Shir Echad implies Shir Sheni. No, that's ridiculous. Anytime I say except for one thing, I mean except for one thing, not except for two things. But that Kol Nechasai doesn't include the Kone unless it's clearly a a 100% wholehearted a 100% wholehearted nesina. Right. That's the point. Point is, since Kol Nechasai, we're not sure if it would include the Kone in the first place. Usually the Nikne is not the Kone. Usually the Nikne is a third thing, which is not the Kone and the Makne. Therefore, it's a Chiddush that Kol Nechasai includes the Kone. We only say that Chiddush when you demonstrate wholeheartedness. Once you make a Begam in your wholeheartedness, then we go back and say, how do we know what Kol Nechasai means? Maybe Kol Nechasai means everything except for the Kone and the Makne. And then you're Mashiach the Eved himself. That has to be Pshat in Rashi, otherwise Rashi's silly. No, again, no one is foolish enough to think, whenever I leave out one thing, I left out a second thing. That's against my words. That's against elementary logic and language. Rather, what it means is, since I was never clear in the first place whether I was giving him himself, we have to make an umdana whether I meant to give him himself. That umdana depends on how much wholeheartedness I demonstrate. So it's still a chiddush in Rashi, but it's a logical chiddush. It's not a silly chiddush. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat. Once I left something out, I was poging the wholeheartedness of my nesina. Once I was poking the wholeheartedness of the nesina, we go back to the word kol nechasai and say, I don't know, maybe kol nechasai only meant other things, not the kona himself, and therefore maybe I was also Mashiach, the Eved himself. That's pshat in Rashi. That is the first pshat in our Gemara. Okay, there are quite a bunch of other pshatim in our Gemara as well, kayadua, and a lot of interesting things that come out of this. But we'll have to leave this Amir Tzashem for next time. So I think next time we're going to try to get as far as we can in this sugya. The schedule will be, it looks like at this point, I think, I hope, we will have two more shiurim to get to the Mishnah. Thursday and Monday. Again, no shiur next Monday, but Thursday and a week from Monday. And then we will break for Chazara and the Bechina on the Daf Beis through Tes. And then we'll pick up, as they say, the last second semester. We'll skip a little. L'chora, the Bechina should be... how much Chazara time do we need?
2 hours.
What? A couple days? Okay. I'm going to, let's say, probably 3 weeks from Monday, but I'll send an email. Okay.